If this gospel reading sounds a little familiar, it's because we just heard it less than 2 weeks ago. Last Sunday was the first Sunday of Lent. The Sunday before that, we read a longer section from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, and today's gospel is a section of what we heard less than 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, it was the old commandment against killing, and Jesus deepens it with the commandment against anger, then the commandment against adultery, which Jesus deepened to include adultery of the heart, and then the commandment against false oaths or false witness, and Jesus deepened that one as well. So that was a long gospel 13 days ago. Well, we return to this gospel in the season of Lent. And what stands out for me in this particular reading is at the very beginning, when Jesus says, "I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven." So aside from any particular examples, overall, we have to do better than the scribes and the Pharisees. I'll tell you a little story related to this. Yesterday, I attended an award ceremony. Our neighbor received a papal award, and Cardinal Advíncula was the main celebrant. It was in the Manila Cathedral. And he gave a very fine homily, but it wasn't on the readings of yesterday. And it was a little surprising. He was referring to something else. When I looked at the readings for today, last night, I looked at today's readings, and I discovered, oh, the Cardinal was using the readings for Friday yesterday. I don't know what happened, but it was still a very good homily. One of the things he mentioned was this business about the need to surpass the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. And the reason why it stands out in my mind is because he said the scribes and the Pharisees were the experts at righteousness according to the law. They did everything properly. They were very impressive, and they probably would have received lots of awards and recognition. This mass yesterday was an award ceremony, so it was kind of funny that he would say maybe the recipient is just a scribe or a Pharisee. He didn't say it that bluntly, but the implication was kind of funny that it's not enough simply to look good or to be impressive or to fulfill in a superficial way the requirements of the law. That's not enough. Now, he wasn't judging our neighbor as being a scribe or Pharisee, but he did make that point. So what is this about here? This is Lent, and Lent calls us to conversion, to deeper conversion, to continuous conversion. The trap of the scribes and the Pharisees was that they were no longer pursuing conversion. They were pursuing a kind of superficial righteousness, a fulfillment of the exterior dictates of the law. And once they did that, they thought that was good enough. In fact, it was so good that it gave them an opportunity to judge others who were not as good. So not only was there a lot of self-righteousness involved, there was judgment of others, which is really a terrible spiritual condition to be in. So we can't settle for that kind of superficial holiness or the appearance of holiness. We must strive for a deeper change with God's help. And that's in the case of a murder. The change has to be not just don't murder people, but turn away from that interior movement toward murder, which is the sin of anger. So this makes us reflect a little bit on what really needs to change, because it is possible for us to enter into Lent and make some superficial changes. Okay, I won't eat meat today. It's Friday of Lent. I won't eat meat today. Does that mean I've really changed, or have I just changed my behavior? Or perhaps any other discipline that we take on during Lent. We'll pray the Stations of the Cross tonight. Very good. But is it just a performance, or am I really changing on the inside? What came to my mind was something from some years ago, back in the 1980s and 90s, there was a kind of epidemic in the States of children who had hyperactivity disorder, or they called ADHD. I think it's still a common diagnosis, but it all of a sudden became a big deal. And there were children were really being disruptive in schools, and the teachers couldn't handle them. And there were many reasons: diet, broken families, the culture was fostering a kind of rebelliousness. But even young children who couldn't yet be taught to be rebellious, they were hyperactive. And so the solution at the time was to give them medication. I can't remember the names of them all, but there were a lot of medicines to calm these children down. Ritalin, I think, is one of them. And it works. It really makes the children much better behaved. It simmers down that kind of wildness, because they were breaking things and getting into fights and not paying attention in class and disrupting. Now, especially the little boys, girls too, but especially the little boys were a big problem. So they would give them medicine and calm them down. And that was the solution about 30 years ago or 40 years ago. That was like the magic potion. But in later years, people started to say, wait a minute now, have we just changed their behavior, or have we helped them grow? Is it enough to simply chemically alter their behavior, or is there something else that has to be done so that they can grow? And this is actually still being debated today. I don't know what the conversation's like here in the Philippines, but there's a lot of question about whether people should be on psychiatric medicine for years and years and years. What does that really do? I don't know the answers to that, because maybe each case is different. But my point here is that it's not enough simply to change behavior. Just like it's not enough simply to be as holy as the scribes and the Pharisees. There has to be an interior change. Now, children, we can't expect deep changes because they don't have depth yet. But as they're being trained, are they being trained to modify their own behavior, or are they relying only on chemical methods? Well, here we are in Lent, and we're not relying on chemical methods. We're relying on grace and on the possibility of change. We can change. We can change. We have to realize that that's true. There are a lot of ideas that pin people or lock people into certain boxes and say, well, that's who they are, they can't change. Well, that's actually an insult to us, to say we can't change. The Lord says you can change. And that's what today's first reading is all about, right? Ezekiel, the wicked man, he can turn away from his sins. He can turn away from sin and he can start to live a righteous life. And that's acceptable to the Lord. If he does that, he will not die, he will live. The good man can also change. The righteous man, the virtuous man, he can turn away from the path of virtue and start to do evil. And if he does that, then he dies. He brings a condemnation on himself. This is Ezekiel's point, that we can change. It's great news when we are aware of our sin, we can change. It's frightening news when we think that we're doing very well, because it's always possible that we can fall. The virtuous man can turn away from the path of virtue. The wicked man can turn away from sin. Well, the call, of course, is to turn away from sin. The famous Greek verb for this, or word for this, is metanoia. Metanoia is a change of direction, a change of one's mind, an interior turning. And that's what's referred to here. To turn away from sin and follow the Lord. Jesus is saying, we have to make this interior turn so that we're not locked into the condition of the scribes and the Pharisees. So if we're going to make Lent fruitful, we have to change. Now, if it's been more than a week now, and I'm sure you have experienced that it's not that easy to change just because it's Lent. It's not that easy to change. So we need 40 days. We need the process. We need to keep returning. The verse before the gospel that we just heard was this one, also taken from Ezekiel. Cast away from you all the crimes you have committed, says the Lord, and make for yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. great idea, but we can't by ourselves make for ourselves a new heart and a new spirit. The one who can do that is the Lord. So our change is, yes, the decision to change, but the power to change comes from God. So part of our decision to change is to call on Him, call on the Lord. That's what we do in Lent. Lord, help me change. Grant me, Lord, a clean heart, a new heart, a renewed inner life, so that I don't fall into the trap of the scribes and the Pharisees, that I'm honest about my sin condition, and my need for grace and mercy, and I can actually respond. So that's a beautiful prayer and a right way to enter into this penitential pilgrimage, which is the season of Lent.